This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're here today to answer your questions and also to share with you some of the vital health and nutrition news stories of the week. Plus, we cover the beat of high-tech medicine. 877-726-8255 is our number. And we got lots to share with you this hour. Let's start with this. You know, when you turn on TV, when you watch the news or cable channels, it makes you think that they're really geared towards sick people. You don't see that so much during sporting events, because I guess sporting events, they advertise beer and deodorant and razor blades and sneakers and cars. But during the news is for serious people, and serious people are generally older, especially the people who are addicted to the constant stream of political news that you get on cable. And you seem to be subject to lots of ads for very expensive drugs, drugs for psoriasis, drugs for ulcerative colitis. These are a new raft of medications that are being advertised for a very specific reason. They're very expensive. They can cost upwards of $40,000 a year. And so that's makes drugs like Lipitor, blood pressure medication, ordinary drugs seem like pikers by comparison. These are biologic medications, the so-called monoclonal antibodies that specifically attack parts of the immune system, disabling it so that your autoimmune reaction doesn't go off the rails. But in so disabling your immune system, there are also some negative consequences. You might be more prone to infections, because after all, your immune system is your bulwark against infections. So we're seeing more and more in hospitals weird infections, infections that once were confined to people who received a lot of cancer chemotherapy, whose immune systems were very suppressed, or during the AIDS epidemic, when people came in with virtually no protective white blood cells on board. We're seeing lots of these weird conditions, fulminant fungal infections, sepsis, tuberculosis is making a comeback because of this. Tuberculosis not just in people who huddle in refugee camps, but ordinary folks who might be taking a medication for multiple sclerosis or for psoriasis or for ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease. These monoclonal antibody medications, there's an article here, and I commend them for their investigative reporting. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel does some good investigative reporting, critical of the excesses of the medical profession and the pharmaceutical cartel. They document the case of a woman who died from a fungal infection. Her arthritis drug, a biologic, put her at risk. She was on Remicade. With the kidneys and liver failing in 106-degree temperature that had smoldered for days, Helen Shannon was being kept alive on a ventilator. Doctors were not certain what was happening, but the family knew this. Shannon, 77, did not want to be kept alive by machines, and so they gathered by her bedside and ultimately pulled the plug. The family learned after the autopsy that she'd been suffering from a fungal infection known as histoplasmosis. And histoplasmosis can be a fatal infection in people who don't have competent immune systems. So, a study published in January of this year found that only 26% of patients were fully screened by their doctors for certain infections that could make the use of biologics contraindicated. Infections like tuberculosis, hepatitis B and C, which can be devastating if you don't have an immune system to fight them off. So these drugs include, well, I'll name some names, Remicade, Humira, Entyvio, Taltz, Cosentyx. Taltz and Cosentyx, heavily advertised, used now for the treatment of psoriasis. Psoriasis used to be one of those grin and bear it conditions, a condition which was cosmetically unattractive, can be painful and debilitating, but ordinary people with psoriasis are now targeted in these advertisements, and the advertisements show sequential resolution of those unsightly plaques. And so people are encouraged to take medication, which can cost more than $40,000 a year. Of interest is that psoriasis patients on these drugs were found to be 3 to 4 times higher at risk of suicide using these medications, which is kind of interesting because the way that they're pitched is that you'll be happier. You'll be less depressed. You'll be less socially ostracized, marginalized when you have nice, clean-looking, unblemished skin. And yet, there are untoward effects on the brain when you alter the immune system using these types of medication. Tysabri, which is used for Crohn's disease sometimes and also multiple sclerosis, can cause something called PML, progressive multifocal leukoencephalopathy. That's a mouthful. That's why I went to medical school, so I can pronounce words like that. But it's basically a runaway viral disease of the brain that eats your brain, and it's almost invariably fatal, a condition which occurs rarely. But when it occurs because you have an altered immune system, can be devastated. And if you listen to these commercials, you'll actually hear, if you listen carefully, that they state that this is a risk, you know, while they play some happy music in the background and show some scenes of people enjoying themselves eating a hot dog or something that they couldn't eat before they were taking Tysabri. So these... You know, the whole thrust of my practice when I see patients is to, if possible, avoid dependence on these medications, because these medications are marvelous in their effects at curbing disease, but their side effects can be devastating. And now it's reported that the biological medications for arthritis and psoriasis and other conditions that have flooded the market have now been linked definitively to 34,000 deaths and literally hundreds of thousands of hospitalizations for illnesses related to immune suppression. That's not a happy picture. And while natural alternatives are not invariably successful, they show a high degree of activity against many of these autoimmune diseases. Fundamental diet changes, certain nutritional supplements, altering the microbiome, low-dose naltrexone, among many strategies that we use for autoimmunity. So, if possible, let's see if we can stay off these expensive, dangerous drugs. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. If you happen to be on a weight loss regimen, studies show that as fat cells shrink, they release stored toxins into the system that can actually poison metabolic pathways and slow your metabolism, causing your weight to plateau even in the face of stringent diet adherence. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol, a collection of carefully curated supplements to mobilize toxin elimination. easing the blahs that sometimes compromise your dietary resolve. The Intelligent Medicine Detox Protocol is an easy way to get the exact combination of the targeted nutrients you need. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to purchase. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immunity protocols and much more. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.
Dance floor is open. Come on, everyone. Let's shake it.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You know, recently there's been a lot of discussion about our dependency on China and how China has been eating our lunch when it comes to a lot of formerly American industries, industries like the steel industry, for example, the solar panel industry, and how we have to reclaim our domestic manufacturing capabilities because it's a national security issue. Well, you know, what if we have a war and China's got all the steel or all the essential rare earth elements that are necessary for making our high tech? Well, it turns out that America is also too dependent on China for its medicine. And this has come to light recently. It's been highlighted by a recent scandal, a recall of a bunch of blood pressure medications that affected millions of Americans. The Food and Drug Administration found that the medication that we imported from China had an excess amount of carcinogen-tainted ingredients. These ingredients include, their long names virtually unpronounceable, NDEA and NDMA. These are industrial contaminants and carcinogens. They affected medications like valsartan, losartan, irbesartan, the so-called angiotensin receptor blockers. And so they cleaned that out of the U.S. market. But because Chinese manufacturing standards are less stringent than over here, when we get stuff from them, there's a potential hazard. I'm not saying that all the stuff from China is tainted, but you got to be ever more careful. This also happens to affect the vitamin and supplement industry. When Chinese ingredients are imported because of their cost advantage, they have to be tested very carefully to make sure that they're pure and unadulterated and don't contain contaminants. But it turns out, check this out, the Food and Drug Administration estimates that at least 80% of the active ingredients found in all of America's medicines come from abroad, primarily China. And that's because they're cheap. So it's all about, yeah, making sure that we keep our drug prices down. They're still astronomical. But one of China's got some very, very ambitious goals. And one of them is to become the global pharmacy to the world. It wants to push out, displace, dominate American and other Western companies. I mean, that's part of their Made in China 2025. It's a national plan to make the world's leader in 10 high-tech manufacturing sectors, including biomedicine, by 2025. Last time I checked, that's not too far off. And they can weaponize their dominance of the pharmaceuticals market because let's say we put some tariffs on their goods. They say, okay, no more medications for Americans. There is the potential for, if there are outright hostilities, for sabotage. They could degrade the quality of our medications, even potentially put lethal contaminants in them. And this is a big potential threat. So as part of a national security posture, we need to beef up our ability to manufacture our own medications. So we're almost past the tipping point of being able to recover that capacity because we're so dependent on other countries for our supply chain of the essential ingredients that make our drugs. It's a really scary scenario. And so this is something like we really need to wake up to this threat. We're becoming too dependent on China for our medications, everything from painkillers to antibiotics. And oh, by the way, when it comes to painkillers, China has flooded world markets with illicit addictive painkillers. Works two ways. It enriches their coffers, and it also undermines the social fabric of our countries. One of the current dogmas in our medical system is that virtually everyone with diabetes should be on a statin drug. And there's a rationale for that, is that if you have diabetes, you're at higher risk for cardiovascular disease, whether it's type 1 diabetes or whether it's type 2 diabetes, which is often associated with obesity and metabolic syndrome. So they say if you're a diabetic, you really should be on a statin drug. Well, one of the problems is that statin drugs have been shown to somewhat increase the risk of type 2 diabetes, even by a robust 40% in women who take statin medications. The higher the dose, the higher the risk. It's led to the introduction of a black box warning on statin drugs that warns of the potential to cause diabetes. There's new concern being raised over lowering cholesterol too much in diabetes. And these days, we're sort of playing cholesterol limbo. How low can you go? We have medications that lower cholesterol like 30, 40%, the statins, but new medications, which are called PCSK9 inhibitors, these can lower cholesterol very dramatically. Cholesterol, kind of a cholesterol of 60 or 70. I'm not just talking about LDL, but total cholesterol with these drugs. Well, what they found is that lowering LDL too much might increase the risk of neuropathy in diabetes. It turns out that, according to a study, lowering cholesterol impairs peripheral nerve regeneration because cholesterol is needed in the nerves. And therefore, if it's extremely low, it may increase the risk of neuropathy, peripheral neuropathy, painful numbness and tingling, which occurs in diabetes. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. 877-726-8255 is our number, and if you can't call now, you can email your question to radioprogram@AOL.com.
The latest trend to hit the store shelves has the whole country buzzing. Cannabidiol, or CBD, might just be the greatest discovery of our generation, and it comes from a plant that is not so new, agricultural hemp. Yes, after 70 years of prohibition and misunderstanding, hemp is back to help you stay healthy and balanced. Growing research is showing that we have a lot to learn from the remarkable hemp plant. Nutrient-rich products like Plus CBD Oil's Total Plant Complex concentrated products provide broad-spectrum nutrition, including fatty acids, plant sterols, cannabinoids, terpenes, and naturally occurring vitamin E. From seed to shelf, all Plus CBD Oil products provide the highest quality hemp-derived CBD products available and are offered in a variety of delivery systems and flavors to suit your needs. Ask your local independent health food store about Plus CBD Oil products by CV Sciences today and learn more about the CBD evolution at pluscbdoil.com. That's pluscbdoil.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number is 877-726-8255. And a reminder, if you can't call us during today's program, you can email your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. Another way that you can get your question answered live in this program, technically it sounds live, but it's actually recorded, is if you go to our website at drhoffman.com. And on the homepage, there's a little box that will pop up for you if you're on your PC or Mac. It'll prompt you to record a question, and with that recorded question, we'll answer it on the air. And that's another way of getting through. So, I love this story. And the reason I love this story is because lately, as an alternative to just browsing aimlessly through Facebook or Twitter, which admittedly is of some value because I find stories that I share with you here on this program, and I learn a lot. But some of it is just sort of a time suck. You end up with a lot of pet videos and a lot of pictures of people taking great vacations. And yeah, that's kind of interesting, but ultimately kind of turns your brain to mush. As does much of TV programming. So what I've done is I've signed up for Babbel to learn and bone up on some of the foreign languages that I used to enjoy speaking, which include French, Spanish, and German. I'm working on German these days, and it's a lot of fun. And it's a brain challenge, but I wonder, you know, am I doing anything for my brain? Here's this study, amazing study, which suggests that literally your brain grows when you're learning foreign languages. And we do know this, is that there is an increase in the neuroplasticity of children from bilingual households. And that may be one of the reasons for the academic success of immigrant children who have to learn two languages. Certain studies suggest that children's intelligence is augmented when they learn a couple of languages. As a child, I heard French from my mother. I heard German from my father. I went to Hebrew school and I learned to write a strange alphabet from right to left. And whether that is of great utility to me today is not so much the question. Was it a good brain exercise? Did it help to enhance my intellectual abilities, much as learning how to play the piano or violin might help to enhance regions of the brain associated with intelligence and performance in other areas? So this is an amazing study. It comes to us from a journal called Neuroimage, which I guess has to do with imaging the brain, right? Using a sophisticated methodology way beyond an ordinary MRI. There are now scans that can show with great detail whether certain parts of the brain are lighting up, whether certain substances are active within the brain. It's amazing what they can do. This is entitled Growth of Language-Related Brain Areas After Foreign Language Learning. And so when I first saw this, I said, well, you know, yeah, of course, kids get smarter when they learn. So that's what this is probably about. But no, it was about adults. And it was also about a very short time span. They say, and I'm reading here, the influence of adult foreign language acquisition on human brain organization is poorly understood. And I underline adult. We studied cortical thickness and hippocampal volumes. The hippocampus is the part of the brain that's associated with memory. If your hippocampus shrinks, you forget things. You're out of luck when it comes to your cognitive abilities. We studied cortical thickness and hippocampal volumes of interpreters before and after 3 months of intense language studies. Results revealed increases in hippocampus volume even in that short time. It's amazing. And in cortical thickness of the left middle frontal gyrus, the inferior frontal gyrus, and superior temporal gyrus for interpreters relative to controls. How cool is this? These findings confirm structural changes in brain regions known to serve language functions during foreign language acquisition. So I'm going to go back to my Babbel and work hard on it and know that it's acting like Miracle-Gro for those regions in my brain which are responsible for intelligence and memory. That is amazing stuff. Okay, this story is not from the U.S. It's from the U.K., but it goes under the heading of be careful what you wish for, because a lot of people are talking about socialized medicine, and their model is some of the European systems, including the National Health Service. Now, it doesn't always have to be that way. There are socialized medical systems that people in other parts of Europe are relatively happy with. But with socialized medicine comes the need for rationing access to procedures. And this headline comes to us from the British Medical Journal. Leading ophthalmologist vows to stamp out unjustified screening for cataract surgery. Okay, well, under a system of socialized medicine, you can't just show up and say, oh, yeah, I think my vision's not so great. I want to have surgery. You have to meet certain criteria, right? And even now, you know, with our current insurance system, there's a threshold for vision problems that results in the surgery that corrects blurry vision during due to cataracts. But here, it's more likely that you will get surgery under Medicare or under your insurance for cataracts than over in England, because they say that new evidence gathered by the British Medical Journal shows that patients with cataracts are being screened and that those who don't meet visual acuity thresholds are being denied surgery. This despite the guidelines of the Oversight Bureau for Medical Procedures in England, which is called NICE. NICE's guideline says that cataract removal is cost-effective and should not be restricted to the more severe cases. They say that more than a fifth of patients in England who needed cataract surgery were screened. That's up from just 7% in previous years. They say that cataract surgery is the most common operation in the National Health Service. There are more than 400,000 procedures performed every year in the UK, and that's kind of a drain on their financial resources. National Health Service is strapped for cash, and they're rationing more and more. The investigation by British Medical Journal found that almost 2,900 prior approval requests or individual funding requests for cataract surgery were rejected last year. That's more than double the number 2 years ago. The investigation is the latest by the British Medical Journal to lift the lid on National Health Service rationing driven by financial pressures. In 2017, the British Medical Journal revealed how there was restriction of access to a plethora of procedures, including cataract surgery. A follow-up investigation last year found that increasing numbers of patients seeking knee or hip surgery were discovering that they couldn't have the operations on the NHS. You can pay for it yourself, they say, but the government's not going to pay for it. There's a guy who's a leading ophthalmologist who's conducting a campaign to reverse these stringent regulations. He says, what's the point of NICE doing detailed evaluation if the NHS is just going to knowingly ignore that advice? The health service budget is limited, but you should make those spending decisions on the basis of the clinical evidence. Cataract surgery comes out as probably the most cost-effective thing in the NHS. And it truly is a marvel. Cataract surgery is amazing because people with a very poor vision have their sight restored. It's really an important element, especially as you age, that you have acute vision so that you can be mobile, continue to drive, continue to socialize. Having cataracts, just like losing your hearing, can be extremely socially isolating. And the surgery is extremely effective. And you kind of get a new lease on life when you can see. So, they're having some problems over there in the UK when it comes to their healthcare system. And, you know, we're moving in that direction, but we've got to avoid the pitfalls that they encounter over there. Otherwise, we're going to have a lot of unhappy folks. When we return, is sitting really the new smoking? And when it comes to exercise, do you have to be consistent for it to be beneficial? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. We'll be right back.
Looking for that perfect beach body this summer, or just trying to stay healthy? Managing your weight is so important. Weight management is more than simply calories consumed versus calories burned. Achieving your ideal weight also depends on your digestive system functioning effectively. Research has shown that one of the most important things in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of good bacteria, probiotics, in our GI tract. These friendly bacteria help regulate blood sugar, normalize our appetite, and process food that is challenging to digest with less gas and bloating. World-renowned Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is a flora balancing system that does that and more. Dr. O'Hara's carefully selected strains of live, beneficial bacteria work synergistically to optimize health, aid in the absorption of our nutrients, and help with weight management. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Get them today. Available at Sprouts, Whole Foods and Vitamin Shop, and other fine natural health retailers. Also online.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And, there's a lot of confusion about the benefits of exercise. How much do you need to do? Is a little exercise of any benefit at all? Do you have to do intensive exercise to get benefits? What if you're just a sporadic exerciser? Is it completely a waste of time? Do you have to be consistent about your exercise, exercising 5 or 6 days a week to garner the benefits? Or what if you're just a weekend warrior, or if you engage in exercise, then you get busy and, you know, you get deconditioned and, you know, it's kind of a merry-go-round. What about idea that when you sit long periods of time, that it is invariably deadly, even if you exercise? That was the contention of some studies that generated the headline, "Sitting is the New Smoking." And I worried about that because I do a lot of sitting. In fact, at this very moment, I'm sitting. I'm generating this program. This program takes 2 hours of sitting, and the prep time for this program takes an additional couple of hours. So I'm sitting. I also am sitting for long periods of time seeing patients when I see patients during the week. And therefore, am I at risk? I mean, I exercise a lot, but is the sitting undermining the effects of the exercise? And is it really that harmful? So this study looks at those questions. They say that each additional 30 minutes a day of light intensity activity, such as gentle gardening or taking the dog for a walk, for example, was associated with a 17% reduction in the risk of death. And so they say while the equivalent reduction in the risk of death was around 33% for each additional 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous intensity physical activity per day, So you get more benefit, obviously. There's more benefit to vigorous intensity physical activity. But the benefits of light intensity activity were large enough to mean that this too might prolong life. And here's the interesting part. There was no evidence to suggest that the logging moderate to vigorous activity in bouts of 10 minutes or more was better than accumulating it in shorter bouts. Sporadic bouts of activity were associated with a 41% lower risk of death. Bouts lasting 10 minutes or more were associated with a 42% lower risk. So you can break it up. You can break up your risk of exercise, and it will actually make a difference in terms of your outcome. Finally, there was no evidence to suggest that breaking up sitting time was associated with a lower risk of death. So I've got this Apple Watch, and the Apple Watch has a setting, which I disabled because it was annoying, which kept telling me to stand up and walk around, which presumably is something that's happening in every office and workplace in America. People are getting up, walking around, going to the water cooler, having another cup of coffee or tea, just to break up their sitting, because sitting for prolonged periods of time is thought to be very bad for you. Well, they say in the study, there was no evidence to suggest that breaking up sitting time was associated with a lower risk of death. So, finally, they say the pattern of accumulation of physical activity did not appear to alter the associations with mortality, suggesting that it would be beneficial to encourage older men to be active irrespective of bouts. So, bottom line, keep up your physical activity, whatever it is, whatever your capacity is, the more the better. But even small amounts of exercise for short periods of time, if they add up and ultimately can support your overall health. Ashwagandha is one of the most important herbs in the Ayurvedic armamentarium. It's very, very ancient. And it is now part of the adaptogenic herb family, used a lot in anti-stress formulas. Research shows that it may combat stress, it may be neuroprotective, it may have pain-relieving effects, anti-inflammatory effects, and it's used in the treatment of a variety of diseases like Parkinson's disease, dementia, memory loss, and so on. And it's part of a lot of adrenal formulas. So I didn't know this, but recently I discovered that there may be another property of ashwagandha, which is that it improves bone mineral density. In osteoporosis, there's a reduction in bone mineral density. And so researchers studied the effects of ashwagandha root extract on bone mineral density in an animal model. Again, the study was not done in human populations, but we can infer that there may be some benefits for humans as well. The researchers found that there were bone mineral changes that occurred when they did hysterectomies on these animals. But by using ashwagandha, there was a prevention of many of the changes that occurred in animals that had their ovaries removed. And thus they conclude that ashwagandha may be a potential agent in the treatment of osteoporosis. So maybe we can add ashwagandha to our armamentarium of useful herbs for supporting bone density. And finally, if you want a smart kid, eat nuts during pregnancy. Headline is, maternal nut consumption during pregnancy linked to improvements in neurodevelopment in children. Researchers in Spain looked at 2,200 mother and child pairs. Analysis of the results showed that the group of children whose mothers ate more nuts during the first trimester of pregnancy, when brain development begins, obtained the best results in all the tests measuring cognitive function, attention capacity, and working memory. A weekly average of just under 3 30-gram servings did the trick. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I hope you enjoyed the program today. Check out our website at drhoffman.com for more information about intelligent medicine. Subscribe to our podcast there and check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Have yourselves a great weekend. Stay healthy. Subscribe to our newsletter as well. This is Intelligent Medicine.